The Outdoor Show. It's the program that puts you into the peaceful and beautiful home of Mother Nature. It moves you back to that calm fishing pond up north, one step away from Lake Michigan, or into your hunting blind on a brisk fall morning. The Outdoor Show. It's a peaceful program. This is not your mother's outdoor show. This is the WHTC Outdoor Show, hosted by a guy who literally has hunting in his name. Tom Mettendorp is Dutch for Village in the Maiden, or King's Hunting Ground. Your co-host, sometimes, is Tim Becker of Powderhorn Guns and Archery. It's time for what really happens when the guys go up north on that hunting trip. It's time for the WHTC Outdoor Show, presented by My Firearms ETS. That's MI Firearms ETS on 1450 WHTC, Holland's news leader.
Good morning. Welcome to the Outdoor Show. This edition of the Outdoor Show is brought to you by Advantage Marine in Zeeland, Farmers Co-op in Hudsonville, Westonbrook Mower, Powderhorn Guns and Archery, West Michigan Bow Hunters, and My Firearms ETS. You're listening to the Outdoor Show live right here on 1450 WHTC, Holland's news leader. Give us a call with your questions or comments at 395-1450. I'm Tom Mettendorp. Ron Chavez is co-hosting this morning, and we're talking with Brett Hoffman, bass tournament fisherman. That was a surprise.
That was different, that's for sure.
The opening, I didn't know what the opening was going to be.
Where did that come from?
That came from
Department of Tourism.
From Dan. That, it had to come from Dan. Dan listens. He picked up a lot of things.
Dan's got some extra time on his hands.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was. It was different, that's for sure. Started out a little slow, kind of touristy.
I saw the surprised look on your face when that started.
It suits you well.
What'd you think right away when it first started, Brett?
I thought it was going to be nice and slow, and then, yeah, the truth came out.
I thought it was pretty good. We have to give kudos to Dan. For getting that put together.
Thank you, Dan.
And then I have to remember to say Holland's news leader, the new branding.
Okay.
I have to remember that. You have to remember that.
I have to remember that. Yeah. Holland's news leader.
Holland's news leader. That's what it is. Well, we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 395-1450. And we have a caller now. Are you there this morning? Caller?
Good morning. Are you there?
Good morning, Tom.
Oh, there we go. How are you, Randy?
Doing good. Did I ever enjoy that opening?
Did you?
Yes. Just 100%.
I like that.
Yeah, I did too. Yep.
Did it scare you at first?
Well, I wondered where it was going to go, but it ended up just real good. So.
Yeah, it kind of made me nervous at first. I thought, uh-oh.
And it was even picking on Tim in there. But, yeah,
you caught that one.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty awesome.
That was. Very good. Yep. Okay, that's all I want to tell you.
Well, I appreciate that, Randy. How you been, though?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. Running for state rep again. So.
Oh, you are?
Here in Allegan County.
Excellent.
So, yeah, well, that seems to be moving along pretty good. So.
Excellent.
Yeah. No more than 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's true. It's not far away at all.
Yeah, I know. It's rushing right along.
Yeah, everything's going fast.
Oh, terrible. Oh. But I'm still waiting for summer to come.
I think everybody is. Yeah. I know the blueberries are.
Oh, yeah.
Blueberries started late, and then they're just kind of sitting there a little bit, and then when we get a warm day, boom, they're all ready to go. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yep.
Well, thanks for calling, Randy. Appreciate it.
Okay, Tom.
We got a few announcements, a few activities going on. Today, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., is the Mekatawa Water Festival. That's at the Holland's Farmer Market, the Farmer's Market, downtown Holland, over by the Civic Center. I had to think about that. You could help, Ron. You know, that's what you're here for.
Have some coffee, Tom.
Okay, I'm going to kick back. You tell us where you went with Spot.
I took my dog, my little buddy, and we wanted a place to go. And where do you go with the dog here in Holland? You got to find something to do. And it was his first time. We looked up on the internet, him and I, both together. We searched out a place to go, a dog park, a dog beach, as it would be.
He was doing the typing, wasn't he?
He was, yep.
I've seen you type.
He uses more than one finger. But we found a beach that allows dogs, not far from Holland, just up north here, called Kirk Park. Mm-hmm. And it's just up the lake a little bit, about a good 15-minute drive. And it was wonderful there. You got to pay a little fee to get in. It's a state park. But you go up a nice trail, and you come up to the lake, and there's quite a few dogs out there with their owners. And they have access to the beach. As long as your dog is well-behaved and looking for some fun and excitement, the waves are there. And my dog Spot, he was in shock.
It was because the water was so cold? Or
no, it was his first time ever being by the big lake. It was this one of his first times being socialized with a group of dogs that large.
Uh-huh.
And there was probably 100 dogs in the space allotted for the dog beach.
You can let your dog off the leash and let him run, right?
You could let your dog off the leash as long as they're well-behaved.
Right.
Know, they're not chasing some kid down or something. But
or each other.
Or each other. But they do play together. You'll see the dogs chasing each other, playing, not fighting, which is good. They're all well-behaved out there. My dog stayed on his leash so I could control him for the first time.
Boy, because he was brand new to the whole
thing.
He
was, yep, he was brand new, and he was standing there shaking at the edge of the lake, and he got in, though. He got in up to his knees. It was quite an experience for him, but dogs are throwing, playing catch with tennis balls, frisbees, sticks. So it was quite an adventure for us out there. I loved it.
So that's to the north here, Kirk Park, out on the beach, Lake Michigan. You can take your dog up there and enjoy that time.
Yes, and trust me, folks, it was well worth the trip up there, and it's very beautiful. The water was fine. The beach was clean. They do encourage people to pick up after their dogs, which people do. So look it up and get on over there.
Excellent. And then back to that Macatawa Water Festival that takes place today, Holland Farmers Market. The Macatawa Area Coordinating Council and the partner organizations, there's going to be fun activities for all ages that are going to help you learn about the importance of our local watershed and why we need to protect it. Okay, the activities are free, and they take place from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. So head on over to the Civic Center, where the farmers market is, and enjoy some of those activities and learn a little bit about that watershed.
And while you're there, Tom, don't forget, we do have our farmers market in action, and there are no pets allowed. No pets allowed over there,
no
even though it's
an
outdoor watershed program.
Well, the watershed, the importance of the watershed is highly underrated.
It is.
Because that watershed is, you talked several times about our fishery here, Lake Macatawa. Tim talked about Lake Macatawa in our recording that we're doing for August 16th. Lake Macatawa is protected through the efforts of that watershed.
Yes.
And that's very, very important. Then I also wanted to say that the Big Red Classic is going on next weekend, August 1 through 3, and the Women's Tata Tourney, if you want to get into the Women's Tata Tournament, which raises money for breast cancer awareness, you need to go to Big Red Classic, which is, if I could get here, bigredclassic.com. And you can click on those things to get your registration information.
And those are brought to you by the Holland Steelheaders Association, I believe.
I didn't read what that was, but we can catch that when we come back.
Sure.
The Outdoor Show is brought to you by Westonbrook Mower, where they service what they sell. All units are ready to use when they leave the store, and Westonbrook submits your warranty information so you don't have to. Stop into the Holland or the Genesis store, check them out on your computer at westonbrookmower.com, or call them at 616-396-5733. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'll be back here shortly on The Outdoor Show.
We'll
Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, brought to you by West Michigan Bow Hunters, protecting our hunting rights and educating the next generation about our hunting heritage here in Michigan. West Michigan Bow Hunters is a chapter of Safari Club International. We're back, ready to talk with you. Give us a call, 395-1450. We're here with Brett Hovman, bass tournament fisherman, and we are going to talk bass fishing. We got a little sidetracked by our new opening that we were unaware of.
Oh, that's all right. I could talk for hours and hours about bass fishing.
Yeah. And, well, that's why we had you come in. We want to talk about bass fishing. Now, you've been fishing the tournament series.
Yep.
And the BBT is one of them, right?
BBT is one of them. I'm actually in three circuits this year. I'm fishing BBT, fishing DNR Sports Center series, and then I'm fishing West Michigan Bass Series on Monday nights.
Oh, goodness. So now, the BBT runs on Saturdays.
Yep.
The DNR runs on?
The opposite Saturdays.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. Now that's Randy?
Yes.
Randy? So do him and Russ, because Russ is BBT, Randy is DNR.
Yes.
Do they communicate about the Saturdays that they do?
Yes. Russ and Randy both host the DNR Sports Center one.
Oh, they
so
do it together?
Russ is the Waymaster for DNR Sports Center.
Okay.
Also.
Okay. For people who didn't know that Russ retired, he didn't really retire.
Yeah.
He just retired Borculo Bait and Tackle.
Yep, exactly.
He still does the BBT series, and now he's the Waymaster for the DNR series.
Yep.
Sweet. And then the Monday nights is the
West Michigan Bass Series.
West Michigan Bass Series.
And that's through Alan Bob's.
Oh, that goes through Alan Bob's. Okay,
yep.
Up in Grand Rapids. Now, is Kyle your partner for all?
He is my partner for BBT and DNR, and then I'm actually fishing Monday nights alone.
Oh, really?
So,
you don't do that with partners?
Nope. You have the choice to do it with a partner or not, and I like to go out by myself. And
so you just cruise out there and
do my thing.
So let's start West Michigan Bass Series. That'd be a smaller one, right?
Yep.
Where are you sitting in that one for standings?
Not so good, actually. I missed a couple of them just from going on vacation. So basically, I'm going there to cash a check when I go.
Oh, when you miss the tournaments, you can't earn any points.
Right. You're allowed to miss two in a year. I missed one for vacation, and then I missed one because my boat broke down.
Oh, no.
So I ended up losing my points there. So I just go there and meet with the guys and just have a good time.
Okay. Where are you standing in the BBT?
BBT, me and my partner Kyle are sitting seventh in points.
And where's Uncle Sean and Brett sitting?
They are sitting in second. Kind of a sore spot.
Well, that's because, and in listeners that have been listening for a while, Brett and Sean come in quite often, and that's Uncle Sean, right?
Yep, that's my uncle.
And they tell us about bass fishing and so on, and we've been following them for a few years already with the BBT series.
Yep.
But so when Uncle Sean is sitting at second, that's bothersome?
Yeah, it's definitely bothersome. The first tournament we fished this year was up in Cadillac and Mitchell.
Okay.
And me and my Uncle Sean and Brett went up there Thursday morning, practiced for Thursday and Friday.
Kyle didn't come with for the practice?
Nope. Kyle was down in Tennessee for his Bassmaster Open tournament.
Okay.
So he actually drove through the night Friday night to make it up to Cadillac to fish a tournament with me on Saturday.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Now, that's dedication, isn't it?
Well, it is.
By about 1 o'clock, he was literally laying in the back of the boat taking a nap.
So he caught his limit, and he said, yeah, you finish?
He put his two in the boat and determined that that was his doing and went and took a nap. So
he had to be tired after going through the night.
He was a tired boy.
And then, now, the DNR, how do you sit in the DNR?
DNR, I'm not quite sure where we're sitting. I think we're about halfway through the pack. I think we're sitting 40th or something like that.
Okay.
We struggled there. We started off on a bad note this year. We got started off in Muskegon and ended up the first tournament. We took 65th out of 85 boats.
Oh, goodness.
So
I wouldn't expect that.
No, we struggled pretty bad. But there again, we didn't have time to pre-fish the weekend before. We were up in Cadillac. Didn't have much time to pre-fish during the week.
It's a bugger when you're in the amateur series because of you have to work.
Right.
The pro series, they have sponsors,
exactly.
So they can go do these things.
We still have to work every day to make it. So
so when you go out for these tournaments, you said there's 85 boats in that DNR.
In DNR, we have 84 or 85 boats.
And those are for the whole series they're signed up?
Yes. Beginning of the year, DNR put a cap on how many boats we could have signed up for the circuit because...
Oh, really?
We cannot run Lake Michigan anymore. So they're all closed tournaments. So we have to stay on the lake that we are put on.
Okay, so when we say you can't run Lake Michigan... This would be likened to when you were telling me the story about, not really, you were telling Ron the story, and I was just asking a couple of questions. You started up in Muskegon, then you jumped out on the big lake,
yep.
And then you ran up to?
A lot of guys run north, a lot of guys run south.
And you grab a lake off from the shore that way.
Yeah, a few years ago, you could get on Lake Michigan as long as you did not trailer your boat, and you made it back by 3 o'clock weigh-in time. You could go wherever your heart desired.
Really?
So you'd get guys that are running 50, 80, 100 miles north.
Now you all know why those bass boats are go-fast boats.
Exactly.
They don't like really big waves, though.
No, it gets pretty sketchy after they get about 4 or 5 foot waves. And then when that jumps up to 7 or 8, then you start to pucker up a little bit.
Yeah. I can't imagine.
That's when stuff starts breaking really fast.
Definitely, because you're bouncing around, and then if you stick the nose in there, the entire boat fills with water. It doesn't take long for it to fill up. No, you better have your bilge working fast.
And you don't want to get around those bigger boats that are out catching those trout and salmon.
It's not like those steelheaders with those boats that sit above the waves.
Right, you know, those big 25-foot boats and things like that. You know, you're up against somewhat 14 to 16-foot boat.
Yeah.
Not quite that small, but
most of the guys have like an 18-foot.
Right? Yep. I run a 19-footer, and my partner Kyle, he's got a 21-footer. So.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay. I thought a lot of them were around the 18 range, but they're more towards the 20 range.
There's a lot of guys that run 18-footers. You're smaller, more economical boats because they are priced ridiculously.
Yeah.
A new bass boat right now is running 60 to 80 grand.
Holy
really?
Moly.
It's
for a new one.
For a new one.
You can get used ones cheaper, but.
The used prices, though, are going up as quick as new prices.
Isn't that just crazy?
It's unbelievable.
That's because everybody's getting into bass fishing or liking bass fishing or wanting new boats.
Or wanting a new boat.
Or maybe the economy's getting better.
Well, you got to upgrade.
They got that, 2 foot fever or something?
How many
like
years
that?
Do you have to go before you upgrade? Because mine's a 1984.
Well,
I think it's about time you donate that boat over to Just a Chance.
But it runs beautifully.
Thank you. We'll be glad to accept it. Thank you, Tom. You're such a nice guy.
Listen to you. Well, when we come back, we'll talk more about how to catch those fish when you're in the bass tournaments. The Farmers Co-op Elevator in Hudsonville is your food plot headquarters with over 40 different seed varieties to choose from, providing in-house soil testing as well as fertilizers, lime, and equipment to plant, maintain, and get maximum performance out of your food plot. Visit the Farmers Co-op at 3302 Prospect Street in Holland. For a complete list of products and services, check them out online at fcelevator.com. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'll be back here shortly on the Outdoor Show. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, brought to you by Powderhorn, guns, and archery for all your arrow knocking, gun cocking, fish hooking, flag waving, stand up and sink, God bless America hunting and fishing needs. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We're back, ready to answer your questions right here on The Outdoor Show.
Good morning. Come on, folks, give us a call. I know you're sitting around your table right now, waking up, having your coffee.
They just like to listen, Ron. They like the conversation.
You know what? I'd like to hear one of their stories. I know we got a lot of seniors out there that got so much experience with fishing and outdoors.
That'd be nice to hear stories.
I would love to hear one of them call up and maybe want to get out and go fishing one day, and I'll be glad to go with them. You know, and sit next to the lake at one of our parks and just get out and be able to talk.
And don't worry about whether you goof up the details or not, folks. It is a fishing story.
It is a fishing story, no matter how big the whopper gets.
So for those of you just joining us, we're talking with Brett Hobman. At the beginning of the hour, we announced some activities. The Mackatawa Watershed deal is going on from 9 to 1 over at the Civic Center today. What was that called again, Ron? You remember the name of that?
No, I don't.
Mackatawa Water Festival, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. over at the farmer's market.
I don't have a laptop in front of me.
The activities are free, and they're for all ages, and it's to learn things about the watershed and why the watershed is so important. And then the Big Red Classic is next weekend, and if there's people still looking to get into the Big Red Classic or get into the Women's Tata Tourney, which is to raise funds for breast cancer awareness, you can find those links at BigRedClassic.com. So Big Red Classic is all one word, of course, and it's BigRedClassic.com. Talking with Brett, we talked a little bit about the standings and the different tournament series that he's fishing, and we talked about the boats and what it takes to find a boat, because Brett just found a boat and told me a little bit more about it over the break, and it's the prices of boats are... They hold true.
They hold value. A 10 to 15 year old boat doesn't go that far down in price. I mean, it's if you take care of it, it's an investment.
So it's a better investment than getting that second car for the son or daughter who's going off to college or that's in high school. Go out and get yourself a nice boat, folks.
Absolutely. Ship them off and tell them to take the bus. Buy them a bus pass.
Gotta have your priorities in order.
Definitely priorities. Gotta have the boat. I mean, seriously, Ron. So it could be kind of hard to get into the bass tournament fishing, but you can fish these tournaments, especially now that you can't run the big lake to get to different lakes. You're going to be on the same lake. So the point is that you can actually have a lesser of a boat and be able to fish these tournaments. So you do the closed... Would it be called a closed water tournament?
Yep, it's a we call it a closed tournament. They draw a line from pierhead to pierhead, and that's your line that you cannot leave.
Okay, so you stay on that body of water. So like if it was on Lake Mack, you can't go out into Lake Michigan and then buzz up and run up to the Grand River.
Right.
So you got all those people, 50-something boats or more?
85
boats.
Packed into that one little lake.
Into that little teeny lake called Mackatawa.
Right. Well, and that's where a lot of the, that's where a lot of the challenges come about.
Because everybody's grabbing those spots.
You can think that you're on fish until you go run one spot and you go run to another spot. There's a boat there. Or there's three boats there. Or there's five boats there.
Oh, golly.
You go run to another spot and you'll have the same scenario.
And you had pre-fished, so these are the spots that you wanted to go. But somebody else pre-fished them, and they're there.
You come in with a game plan, but you have to have an open mind. Because there's a lot of times that you have to change things up as you go.
Well, you have to have a plan if you're going to change your plan.
Yep.
If you don't have a plan at all, you can't change it.
Exactly.
It's just not going to happen.
Now, does pre-fishing, say you went out pre-fishing a couple nights before, and then some other guy went out and fished same spots a couple nights before, all checking out this lake, doesn't that scare the fish come up day of the tournament where nobody wants to bite?
It does happen. A lot of times when I go pre-fishing, I will cut the hook off of my bait just so I don't stick the fish. If I get the bite, it's all I want.
Right.
Until tournament day.
Okay, so it's not actually going to hook them. So right. They're just
barbless, basically. Yep. Yeah.
I don't go just barbless. I cut the whole shank off.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
So then they go after that bait. They grab the bait.
Yep.
And they might even follow with you for a little while on that bait because they're biting on it.
Yep. And you kind of pull it away from them. And
nice.
Just so nice. you don't sore mouth them. They don't.
Right, right.
They don't have a clue what's going on. It's like, oh, that one got away. No different than if a bait fish gets
away. And then that other guy who didn't cut his hook off, he went and fished him and he scared him.
If he goes and hooks the fish, then a lot of times that fish won't bite again.
And that could be kind of like with turkey hunting. When we go out turkey hunting and they get call wise.
Yep, exactly.
Because of everybody calling preseason.
Yep.
And using the exact same calls that you want to use.
Exactly.
Rather than just locating them.
Same scenario.
And then they look at that and go, there's that guy's back again.
Yep, exactly.
So you go out and you pre-fish and you find these locations. What are we looking for in locations? Let's say somebody just wants to go bass fishing. They're not tournament fishing. They just want to bass fish. And they want to catch some bass.
Yep.
They want to catch and release because it's a lot of fun to fight them and play with them and everything else. So we go out on the water, and I got my little 12-footer, and I don't want to travel all over the lake because I got a four-horse on there, and I just want to go pop, 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 pop,
yep.
pop, pop. And what am I looking for? I'm looking along the shoreline, right?
Sometimes you want to look at the shoreline. There's so many different options that have now been coming out that guys are really starting to figure out and deciphering these lakes. Structure is key. If you want a target to throw at, you go up in marinas, you go up fish boat docks, boat lifts.
When we're talking about structures, we're talking about the docks and the posts that are sitting in the water and so on. Or seawalls can be a structure that they're sitting on, right?
Seawalls are definitely key. Weed beds. You got the fish live in weeds.
And would you call the weed beds a structure?
Absolutely.
Okay, because when we used to talk about structures, it was when where we go up north, they placed log structures that they had assembled on the ice. And in the spring, when the ice melted, they would fall down into the water. So we knew where those structures were.
Yep.
And, of course, we'd go to those because there was always fish there.
Yep, exactly.
That way the kids could catch fish right away.
You got to keep them intrigued.
Well, yeah. They got it. If they don't catch fish, they get kind of bored with it, and they don't want to do it. So structure, meaning anything under the water that is a structure, whether it's natural or whether it's man-made, it doesn't matter. It's a structure that they can go next to, hide in.
Yep. The best way I can describe structure is, okay, if you got a house, that's your structure. That's your home. It's the same thing with fish.
So they find that, and that's kind of where they stay then?
They find that, and that's where they live. And it does change from time of year. How hot it is, what the weather's doing, whether they're deep into the cover or if they're sitting on top, if they're feeding, if they're sunning themselves or just relaxing, basically.
Okay, so for a guy running his little 12-footer with a four-horse on it and he's putting along, best thing to do is to look for spots that I can actually see that protrude out of the water.
Yep.
Because I'm not gonna be able to pick up those weed structures or the man-made structures that might be underneath with a fish finder if I don't have one.
Right.
Okay. So I go by those docks and stuff, and we find those structures. How do you know? What's the next step? What do you got to decide?
The next step is what I decide is, like, if I roll up onto a dock, I'll make a few pitches around it, a few pitches underneath it. Most of the time, the closer you can get to the poles and the further under the dock you can get, the better you are.
That's where that underhand cast works nice.
Yes. The logic is you want to put your bait where someone else can't.
Yeah.
So the further under you can skip under a dock, the better chance you are of getting fish that have not seen a bait.
So that's why when I go down the lake and I see all these docks with line hanging and hooks dangling under them, I know there's a bass fisherman nearby, huh?
Oh, you can't blame us all the time.
Well, see, what I was going to suggest to you, Ron, is when you're on the dock, You know that little gap between the boards?
Oh, yeah.
Run your bait down there.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because you'll be sure to catch a fish that way.
But how are you getting it out?
Darn, he thought about it.
Oh, yeah.
The Outdoor Show is brought to you by Advantage Marine in Zeeland, with competitive prices and personalized service to meet all your needs. Repair, storage, winterizing, parts, and more. Call Advantage Marine in Zeeland at 616-748-9235 or stop in and see Dave at 8755 Riley Street in Zeeland. That's at the corner of 88th and Riley on the northeast side of Zeeland. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'll be back here shortly on The Outdoor Show. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show, brought to you by My Firearms ETS, educating people in the safe and responsible use of firearms since 2001. My Firearms ETS offers education, training, and supply, the best you can find anywhere. Classes are offered regularly. Class sizes are limited. Register early to reserve your spot, 616-218-7328, or find us on the web at My Firearms ETS. That's MI Firearms ETS. We're back, ready to talk with you. Give us a call, 395-1450. We're talking with Brett Hoffman, and we're talking about bass fishing. We ended up with fishing under the dock, getting as far as you can under the dock, getting to the spot where other people can't cast.
Right.
We almost had Ron talked into putting his line between the boards of the dock, but he figured it out.
Yeah, I've been fishing since I was a little kid, and I know those tricks already.
You've been doing that. You've been using a cane pole.
Well, something a little different. It was fiberglass, but yeah, it didn't have eyelids on it or nothing. It was just a long piece of fiberglass.
Fiberglass then?
Yep.
Because I started with a bamboo pole.
It was a piece of scrap that we got out of the local junkyard, and uh-huh. It was about 8 foot long or so, and we tied a piece of line to the end with a spark plug and a hook, and went fishing with night crawlers. So, yep, that's what we had. We were poor.
I gotta say, that's a new one for me.
We were a poor family, and we fished in Calumet Channel in Chicago, where I lived. Uh-huh. And you used whatever you had back then. That was in the 60s.
Wow. Yeah. I go past that where you fished.
Yeah.
When I head to Wisconsin.
Yep. When you go over to Toll Road in Indiana, Illinois, right there. Yep.
I don't always take that way. It's terrible traffic.
Terrible neighborhood.
So we're casting where others can't.
Yep.
Are we using lures that others can't?
A lot of times there is lures out there that guys do not say what they use.
I guess I kind of jumped ahead. There's the different lures that I can go out and buy.
Right.
But do people make lures?
Absolutely.
They make them special.
I modify lures all the time.
And when you modify them, that gives you kind of an advantage. That's something the fish hasn't seen before, right?
A lot of that, you can call it advantage, disadvantage. I mean,
well,
a lot of it's got to do with confidence. If you have confidence in the way your bait's running, mm-hmm. the way it looks, then I call that an advantage. Whether it catches fish or not, you don't know.
I was just going to say, you can have confidence in things that don't work out.
Exactly.
Now you said you modify your lures. Is that putting skirts on, changing colors, spinners on them?
What? Yep, different skirts, different colors, different trailers on them.
Do you use oils and scents and stuff like that?
Oils, scents, I dip my tails a lot, so I'll have a green pumpkin bait, and I will dip it in an orange dye.
Oh, uh-huh.
So the tips of the crawler or the pinchers are either orange or yellow or blue.
Yep, I got all those bottles from Russ for dipping, and then they also have like a garlic.
Yep, a garlic scent or a shad scent. Yeah.
I haven't used those things up. If you buy those, you got them for a long time.
Absolutely. I've been using the same one for probably 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah.
And it's still 3/4 full.
See, I ran across...
I saw you pull your nose and go, dipping? What are you talking about? I saw you do that.
I ran across a guy in Grand Rapids at a fishing show, and he had a product. It was a liquid. And you get your dozen night crawlers in a little container, and it's a dye you put inside the container,
mm-hmm.
and yep. the night crawlers turn green or blue.
Yep.
And over a couple days period after they eat through the mulch or whatever that's inside the container, and people fish with these blue and green night crawlers, and they said that works pretty good. What do you think?
I will agree with that. A lot of times you want to match what the fish are feeding on. You don't want to give them something that they're not used to eating. I mean, sometimes it works when they see something different. You can get them to react to it.
Right.
But a lot of times you want their natural forage on what they eat on a daily basis.
Right. I think I'd react to a green night crawler if I saw one. A blue night crawler. Yeah, it's a little weird.
You were you'd be thinking you were actually by Palisades or something, right?
Yeah, right.
Green night crawlers. Yeah. Well, you know, and the rubber night crawlers come in all different colors.
Yep.
So those colors must, you know, initiate it, something on a certain day.
It all means something. You get, for instance, around here, you think of Lake Mack and the Grand River. You got dirtier, dingier water. You can't see very far down. You want something that's going to be brighter. You want something that the fish can actually see,
mm-hmm.
and that's where the scents come into, because they can actually pick up on the scent of the bait.
So they pick up on the scent, and then they start looking around. Where is that?
Yep.
If they can't see it, they have to really look for it, and you're pulling it along.
Yep, and that's where I go into my chartreuse baits, my mm-hmm. very bright-colored baits that, if you run it by them a foot away, they can maybe pick up on it.
Okay.
But when you can get up to, like, Muskegon Lake, White Lake, any lakes up north where
it's... clear water, yeah.
You get into clearer water, you can see 4, 5 to 10 to 15 foot down.
Okay.
You want something that's going to be natural. Otherwise, them fish are going to freak out. They're going to be in shock of what they're seeing. And could you catch fish on those brighter colors? Yeah. Are you going to do better with a more natural color? I believe so. Okay. You want something that's going to match.
Seems logical.
Yep. You want to match. A lot of times the bass will target perch, bluegill, let's see here, gobies. I mean.
That's what they're looking yep. for, because it's in the water already.
Yep. Crappies is a big one. So you try to match and make your lures look like
the bass are looking for the little crappies.
Yes,
because I've seen the nice little lures. It's just a teeny little crappie,
yep.
That pulls along and the tail moves and yep. everything else. And I usually get the speed wrong.
A lot of times, guys do fish too fast. You get excited, you get going. You even if you catch a fish, I catch myself all the time. I start working it way too fast. I get too excited. And then you don't get bit for a while, and then you slow back down, and then you get bit again, and then it's a cycle. It's a cycle. It happens again.
It's funny that you say that, because grouse hunting, when we go grouse hunting and we don't take dogs,
yep.
most of the time we're walking too fast.
Yep.
We're too excited right at the beginning, and we're flushing them way ahead of us.
Yep, exactly.
And then if we slow down, all of a sudden we start getting them. Well, then we start getting excited. Now yep. they're flushing away again. What's going on?
Yep, exactly.
And maybe that's just a hint, you know, we could take the outdoors and turn it into our lives and say, you know, maybe slow down a little bit.
Yep, absolutely. Exactly.
Better things will happen.
Yep.
So, now, okay, so how often do you change the lure that you're using? I mean, you get out there and you have a certain lure. One friend of mine, he fishes about 30 seconds and he changes lures. He says, this one ain't catching anything. He changes over. Another one, he'll fish the same thing for 30 minutes
yep.
and then say, I guess I'll change something.
And with that question, how many poles are you allowed within your boat for you to use?
As many as you can fit on there.
Oh, all right.
On the boat.
On the boat. Yeah. You can't use them all at once.
Right.
I'd like to see somebody use them all at once.
I got floaters out there.
One tournament, me and my partner showed up. We had 22 rods sitting on the front deck of the boat.
And see, let me clarify a little bit. What I realized about all those rods is that if you have the different lures on them, they might be very similar
yep.
rods, and not necessarily that you're changing the rod for a purpose, but you're changing bait. Lures.
Yes.
And you might want to go back to another one. So yep. rather than having your hasp, your quick hasp,
yep.
which is an indicator to the fish that something's wrong.
Right.
you have them all tied direct
yep.
so that you can just switch over, yep. correct?
And
I learned that from Russ.
another thing is all the rods, if you look at the rods, they all look alike,
mm-hmm.
but they all work different, different action to them. Some are, yep. some are stiffer than others. Some are more whippy. They all serve a purpose.
And some you can, they're much more sensitive.
Yes.
You can feel right away when they're there.
Yep.
Yeah, if they're light, if the fish are lightly biting, you want that with, that's got yep. More sensitivity
exactly.
to it, right?
Exactly. So in my eyes, every one of my rods serves a different purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So when I roll up into a tournament and I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do,
right?
I have 10, 12, 15 rods ready to go.
Nice.
All hooked up with different baits, and a lot of times I've got duplicate baits because if I break one off on a fish and I get on a school of fish,
and they like that one,
I get right back on them, and
yeah. and that's
try
how you
to,
get
try to keep
that's
them
how you
fired
get to
up.
The top of the tournament series, right?
It, hopefully,
that's the intention.
Yeah. Well, we're running out of time, so I just wanted to say thanks for coming in, Brett. Appreciate it. And talking on the radio here, and I wish you luck in getting ahead of Sean and Brett, just so you can rub it in a little
yeah,
bit.
I do know. Have my work cut out for me, so
that's going to be a tough one.
That's going to be a tough one, and then you got to listen to it all winter long.
But you know, Uncle Brett did, or Uncle Sean did teach you a little bit.
He taught me a lot. He got me rolling with it. He got me going. So.
But so, what we need, we got to have you post some of your pictures of your catch on our outdoor
Yeah, you can put them right to the outdoor page. Show.
I'll have to
yeah.
do that.
Yeah, yep.
Over
I actually have Brett on Facebook, so I look at what he puts up there. But definitely when you run the tournament and you mm-hmm. have some pictures, put it right to the outdoor show because
right,
you can
I'll
post it right there.
Absolutely.
Right.
And yeah. all you people thinking you're going to put bad stuff there, I will delete it. I'm just kidding. So, yeah, go ahead and post some stuff there so we can keep track of what's going on for the rest mm-hmm. of the season here.
Absolutely.
So, awesome. Thanks, Ron, for coming in and being the co-host again this week.
Yep. Message out to all the people out there. Call in next time. Let's get you out fishing. Let's get you out into the great outdoors here in our local backyards of Holland, Michigan. And
definitely.
I'll see you next time.
Right here on the Outdoor Show.
Thanks for listening to the WHTC Outdoor Show, presented by Powderhorn Guns and Archery and My Firearms ETS. That's MI Firearms ETS on 1450 WHTC, Holland's news leader.